Hello and welcome to the second episode of Baby Steps, the first steps understanding the paradox of parenting, and I'll say education because I focus a lot on that. If it's your first time here, I'm so excited to have you. Welcome to this podcast. Danielle Ocheng is my name. I'm an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession with a degree in the same. I am currently an early years curriculum designer and consultant, and I have been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities. Teacher, counselor, guide, friend, confidant, actually everything. And this spans through all ages. Talk about 0 to 18 plus years, but I focus on the early years and particularly 0 to 5 years because it is the foundation of everything about children. And now, drum rolls. It's time for another Did You Know fact. So, did you know that people can remember more than 2,000 pictures with at least 90% accuracy in recognition tests over a period of 7 days, even with short presentation times during learning? So, this is actually inspired by my first episode, which was 2 weeks ago, called The Learning Styles. After that episode, I was requested to handle each learning style in an episode. So in this episode, I'll be talking about the fast learning style in the VARC model, which I mentioned during the last episode, and that is the visual learners, which represents the V. So the visual learners learn best by seeing, obviously. So they understand things when they explain through visual aids, and when they're interpreting information in their minds, they tend to visualize it a lot and very vividly. They also tend to have a sharp memory of things and people seen. The type would walk into a place and they notice everybody's face. They can notice the cockroach, the size, the age, like literally detail, the locust, whatever passed there, what size. This type of people have a very detailed visual experience. And they can leave that place with a detailed facial description of everyone they saw. So like if it's a case and the police need it, trust me, you need it, they've got it. I have a friend like that. She can get into a place and when she's out, she can describe everyone she saw with detailed accuracy. It's ridiculous. Well, I, on the other hand, I can converse with somebody for an hour. I'll remember everything they said, but I most likely will not be able to describe what they look like. So if I get robbed and there's no CCTV cameras, that's it for me. Anyway, I'm not going to lose track here. We're here to help us help our children learn best. So if your child is a visual learner, some of the things you'll tend to notice is that even when they're giving stories or describing things, they tend to describe things they have seen with such detail. You know, they describe the physical features to the letter. They almost leave nothing out in their descriptions. And some other characteristics is they tend to pay very close attention to body language. So you can tell them something, but if you act in a different way, they tend to pick out what they saw you doing. So you're like, oh, but I say this, and like, but in the head, like, I saw you do something different. So they tend to pick out the body language. So they also tend to love art and aesthetics because it's very important to them. They're visual. And don't worry, during this episode, you'll hear me mention a lot of visual and details because that's what it's about. So they find it quite hard to remember people's names if they don't see them often, but they remember the details of their faces. They never lose a face. Like, I've seen you before, but I honestly can't remember your name, you know, but they will describe even possibly where they saw that person at the time and all those details. So like even when it comes to like lessons, they tend to spend time thinking about it for them to fully understand it. And this is because they are trying to visualize it and put it in some graphics inside their head so that they're able to understand it. They're also very imaginative and creative. They enjoy art or writing stories. They prefer to write than listen. And this is because as they write, they visualize, like they're taking in picturesque memories of what they are writing, the words and how they look and all those kind of things. They tend to have trouble remembering verbal instructions but are very accurate with visual instructions. Trust me, they can assemble a card just by looking at the procedure in a diagram. I kid you not. But given the same procedure with just words, you're going to lose them quite a bit, or speak it to them, that's it. Like, they learn through visual aids. So they also tend to take a copious amount of notes. As I mentioned earlier, they take notice to details, and they tend to be excellent spellers because they have what you call a photographic memory. It's like their brains take pictures, like snapshots of those words, and store them for retrieval when needed. the type who would excel in spelling bees with no struggles because they have seen and heard the word. So when they're asked to recall it, it's very easy for them to like snap and boom, they're spelling out the word. So they love to draw and doodle. I actually had a colleague like that. Like by the end of our meetings in the office, if he didn't have a notebook, he has doodled all over the top of his laptop. So these pencil drawings all over the top of his laptop. And yeah, having spent time with different people, it's sometimes very easy to say, okay, this person must be this kind of a learner, this person must be this kind of a learner, because they tend to have characteristics that accompany or describe who they are. So like your child possesses an excellent memory in terms of observation. They observe and those things stick to them. And sometimes they're able to picture where certain information was in a textbook. Page this, number this, it was torn on this page, somebody scribbled on this part, I remember exactly where it was looking like, I was seated at this position. Those are those kind of people. They're often also very strong readers as they easily visualize what is described on the page. They tend to love to indulge in storybooks and novels and any kind of literature because they have a very strong imagination. And their mind turns the words into pictures and active scenes like they are actually in the book. They also tend to be good writers for actually the exact same reason. And so when it comes to like learning, if you show them a picture they've seen before, it's become so much easier for them to remember the lesson that accompanied it because they remember the visual image and when they saw it and what was being talked about during that period or what it represented. So something to be keen on, by the way, is if as you're listening to this and you hear the different characteristics and you think, okay, my child must be a visual learner, it's very important that there are no visual distractions around them because it becomes very tough to concentrate, obviously, because they're visual learners. So if something visually attractive or destructive is happening outside their learning area, trust me, their mind is pulled outside and they totally forget like to concentrate on what's happening inside. That's why research advises schools and especially preschool classrooms not to overdo on the visual aesthetics inside the classroom. Too much color, too many pictures, too many this and too many that, because it obviously distracts the classroom and distracts the learners. Like try to imagine you as a person. You walk into this room and it's beautiful. And yes, we do encourage beauty in classrooms. But then now the things hanging. So now there's a presentation happening. So you've come for a parents meeting. Yeah, there's a presentation happening. And as the presentation's happening, some of the kids' artwork is hanging from the ceiling, some of it is on the wall, some of it is on the floor, some of it is on the cupboard. So your mind is looking at everything and taking in the information of everything that is happening around, and you end up missing what's being presented. I think you get the point of the visual distractions. Yeah. So another thing is avoid your child, or make sure they do not sit next to a window in class for obvious reasons. We don't want them to be distracted. And if they're using like a computer to revise and like maybe learn something, ensure it doesn't have any pop-up ads or notifications or messages coming in, because it will like interrupt their train of thought. So if you can relate to some of these things, some of them do take observation, a lot of observation to pick them up. If a child seems to fall into this category, some tips to help them is encourage them to use images, pictures, color, and other visual media to help them learn. So incorporate much imagery into their visualizations. Those who like to draw, let them draw the process. Like in the previous episode, I mentioned an example of learning the digestive system. So tell them to draw the process from the time the food is introduced to the mouth to when it goes down the food pipe, etc., etc., until it leaves the body. Then once they're done, they can use that picture for self-revision or to explain to somebody to help them master the content. So if it's history they're learning, let them do diagrams or maps or mind maps that represent whatever data they're trying to get in. Encourage them also to copy things out. Let them take notes or make lists, because as they write, they take in the physical part of that image. You ever heard of somebody who says like during the exams, after the exams, they're like, when they're writing the answers, they remembered the exact page, what pen they used, what number it was, what stains it may have had. They are the type of the photographic memory. These are the visual learners. When they get home, get them videos of lessons that they're learning, because as long as they're seeing, they're learning. But word of caution, especially for young learners, screen time should be limited. But I'll handle that topic on another day. But moving on with this topic, you can also help them by, so this is like the older children, is get them different colored pen, like buy them a variety of colored pens and tell them or encourage them to color code their work so that in their notes, because it helps them associate certain colors with certain information. You have this kind of kids who the topic is in red, subtopic is in black, subtopic is in green, the other one is in orange, and the notes are in black, then it's been highlighted, then it's been drawn on, and then it's, yes. The thing is, once they have those different color of pens, because they take in the visual information, they will remember, okay, this topic was in yellow, then it followed by a green pen, and then I wrote this. So I think we're getting the gist of this whole thing. Colored pens, color coding helps them a lot. Buy them flashcards. So flashcards are laminated pictures or images of things where it shows a sequence of events or pictures that explain a certain event. When they're revising or doing stuff, tell them to circle words, let them underline or highlight them to emphasize their meaning when revising. So another thing you can also help them with is encourage them to demonstrate any process or new idea when they can, even in the class. So if they need to draw what the teacher is explaining, so be it, let them draw it, because that's how they're understanding. But here's the thing, I'm not saying that, tell them not to not write notes, because depending on the school, we're not here to get our kids into punishment. And sometimes it's very hard to change systems. Not impossible, but hard. So if it's required that they have notes, let them write the notes. But also tell them as they've written the notes, if they need to remember and the teacher, let's say, is explaining, they can draw it, right? Or use a diagram. I told you they use diagrams, they use charts, whatever. Tell them, encourage them to use that. And whatever process they can do. So let them write notes over and over again when they're revising, but now using pictures and drawings, because it will help them visualize the information. Use Google Images, let them watch films, because, hey, man, thank God for YouTube. YouTube is a huge help. It's a very, very, very big aspect. Get to visualize things. They get to listen to these things. They get to see. So use that. Get them a drawing book if they need one, with colors and markers and all these kind of things. And you can also teach them, the older they are, to work with what we call mind maps. So mind maps, it could be the beginning of an essay. Maybe they're trying to write a composition or they're explaining some process or something like that. So how it's used is, so it normally starts with a word or an image in the center of a page or a chart or whatever they're using. And then it has like lines or arrows that branch out from that center point, explaining now the different processes. So like it could be digestion. So it could either be a picture of the whole digestive system or just the word digestion, and then now branches out to like what happens in the mouth, what happens in the esophagus, what happens in the small intestines, the colon and rectum, and all those kind of things. So another thing they can do is photo essays. So these are just a simple sequence of photos that tell a story. I know I use that a lot with kids when helping them sequence activities or sequence a story, because it also helps with visual and memory and concentration. So it's just photos, because you know, it's a dominant, photos are a dominant part of our image field world. Everywhere we go, these pictures of things, because humans tend to grasp that a lot, visual learners even more. So it could just feature text through articles. They can pick articles and say, okay, this is related to what we're learning. We try to ensure this, what we have, we call text to self connection. So whatever they're reading, whatever they're learning, they incorporate it, like they get to understand it from their point of view. They get to understand how it relates to their life. That's why I love the organization where I work and the job that I do and my fellow designers, because even when kids are finding the value of X, they will find out the Y. So at the end of it, they don't say, Sasa, how is this thing going to help me in life? They get to be told, so this is how this is going to relate. And we start that from a very young age so that children learn to find meaning in what they're learning. Another thing is flowcharts. I think we all know how flowcharts work. And I think my last point would be like, help them, like combine visual and kinesthetic learning. So kinesthetic is like the hands-on things. Like my example of the digestive system. After they have drawn, given a visual representation in whichever form they prefer, they can now make the digestive system, you know, using recyclable materials, because now that allows the body and mind to work together. So they get to see things from different angles and remember. So if they're going to remember 90% of the visual representation, the 10% that's remaining, they'll remember, okay, I made a hands-on thing. It looks like this. I explained it like this. This is how it was manipulated. And some words they tend to use a lot is, like I have a friend who says she never forgets her face. Some words they would say is like, I never forget her face. Or, okay, let's draw a diagram or map. So they'll be like, no, wait, if I'm understanding you, let me just write that down, or let me just draw it. So this is what you're meaning. Can I explain? Do you have a pen? A boy, try. And so that's how visual learners, because they have to see. So like, sometimes you explain something to them and they're like, hey, I'm sorry, I can't picture it. They're trying to visualize that thing in their head. So, or let's look at things differently, trying still the same process, or I'd like to get a different perspective. So that's basically much about, or little about, the visual learners. My parting shot with this episode is, if you are to forget everything I've said and remember this one thing about this category of learners, is that you need to remember that they have to see things to remember them. If you're going to live with anything, remember your child has to see things to remember them in whatever thing they're learning, even if it's just home or church or whatever sport, whatever it is you want them to learn, they have to see things to remember them. It's a vast majority of resources. If you still need help or further clarifications or questions or corrections, please reach out to me on my email, parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. Parentingbabysteps is one word. So it's parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Next week second week of February, I will be handling the A learners. So that's the audio learners. That's it from me for this episode. Bye.